this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardline.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Yesterday, we did our BEL, Michael Jackson Memorial, and we did get some feedback on that. I'll read you excerpts from one email from Bobby. Bobby said, I am not and never have been a Michael Jackson fan, but he is not homosexual. He's not homosexual. And it's this person's a liberal. They're pro-homosexual, pro-abortion. They reject the existence of God. I thought being a homosexual was such a great thing. Why would you deny it from someone who is so obviously a homosexual? That would be like saying, of one of your heroes, he was not a great man. Why would you say he's not a homosexual? Now, one of his defenders wrote quite an article in the Daily Mail in England. He reminded us that Michael Jackson appeared in a documentary with British broadcaster Martin Bashir, and that he admitted that he liked to share his bed with teenagers, with boys, in pajamas, at night, and he showed no sign of understanding why anyone might be legitimately concerned with that, and that Michael Jackson continued to share his bed with children even after the molestation suspicions surfaced. So that adds, of course, insult to injury and putting yourself up above the law. And hey, if you're invincible, then you could do whatever you want to do. Michael Jackson clearly died. He could have been one of the most successful people in the history of the world. He clearly died as one of the most miserable. Indeed, the headline of this story is a quote from Michael Jackson just 1 week before his death, quote, I'm better off dead. I'm done. He was physically unable to perform the demanding concert schedule he had agreed to, and apparently unwittingly, according to this story, he thought he was agreeing to do 10 concerts in London, and actually the contract called for 50 concerts. Let's see, this article by Ian Halperin. It is clear to me, he writes this, it is clear to me that Michael Jackson was homosexual and that his taste was for young men, albeit not as young as his accusers Jordan Chandler or Gavin Arvizo. In the course of my investigations, I spoke to two of his homosexual partners, one a Hollywood waiter and the other an aspiring actor. The waiter had remained friends, perhaps more than friends, with the singer until his death last week. He had served Jackson at a restaurant, and Jackson made his interest plain, and the two first slept together the following night. I know this is disgusting, but this here, Bobby, this emailer Bobby, writes, Bob, I am not and never have been a Michael Jackson fan, but he is not gay. He writes, Bob, you do not have the right to slam other people. Now, it's funny because this email slams me. So apparently I have less rights than Bobby. Bob, you do not have the right to slam other people, especially since you mostly lie to push your views. Now, this guy in the London Daily Mail, this guy is pro-Michael Jackson. He's defending him. He says Michael Jackson is not a child molester, but he was clearly a homosexual, and he's describing his own investigation. The actor, who has been given solid but uninspiring film parts, saw Michael Jackson in the middle of 2007. He told me they had spent nearly every night together during the affair, and he produced corroboration in the form of photographs of the two of them together, and he also produced a witness. Other witnesses, speaking of other witnesses, remember the guy from the Philippines who ran Michael Jackson's estate? Did his wife find Michael Jackson in some compromising situation with young boys? Where do I have that? Here we go. In an interview broadcast nationally in the Philippines, Mariano Quindoy, once the estate manager at Jackson's Neverland Ranch, said the entertainer often lured children into his room to engage them in homosexual sex, according to Michael Jackson's ex-estate manager. I mean, so many people around Michael Jackson, like security guys and nurses and on, tell the same story with different years and different boys, but the same story. Michael Jackson went to sleep over one of his young friends' houses for a month, apparently 30 days in a row, slept over the home of his young friend. So this is Michael Jackson's former estate manager said, Michael is one of the nicest persons you will ever meet, but he's a child molester. And that's almost as though this guy, Mariano Quindoy, as though he listened to Bob Inyart Live, because we'd said this for years. We have said for 18 years on the air, if there is a homosexual child molester on your block, he will be the nicest guy on the block. Because you got to give the kids a lot to get from them what you want to get from them. And who gave more to kids than Michael Jackson? This actor says that he spent the middle of the year 2007 with Michael Jackson, spending nearly every night together, produced corroboration in the form of photographs. Remember, I mentioned the homosexual journalist, Alan Light. That's one of the bits of information we gave to the Santa Barbara DA's office. We being Bob Inyart Live back in 2005, a page from the popular homosexual magazine In Touch, which, by the way, we had broadcast on our nationally syndicated TV show, Bob Inyart Live, a clear photograph taken prior to the accusation, the public accusation against Jackson, showing him at a homosexual vacation spot with his arms around Alan Light, who's a homosexual reporter, and a young boy. And this Bobby says, Michael Jackson is not gay. And he accuses me of lying. I mean, it's funny when you lie to yourself, no? Other witnesses speak of strings of young men visiting Michael Jackson's house at all hours, even in the period of his decline. Some of these young men would stay overnight. When Jackson lived in Las Vegas, one of his closest aides told this investigator, Ian Halperin, according to the Daily Mail in London, one of his closest aides told Ian Halperin that Michael would sneak off to a grungy, rat-infested motel, often dressed as a woman to disguise his identity. How would that disguise his identity? That's one part in this article I didn't get. I don't know how that would disguise his identity. Often dressed as a woman to meet a male construction worker that he had an affair with. So when the article goes on, this is a five-page article. And this guy who wrote this spent time at Neverland Ranch, interviewed staff, friends, acquaintances, homosexual partners. And it's just pretty weird for people who think homosexuality is good to deny the homosexuality of the world's leading homosexual. I mean, why would they do that? That would be like supporters of Bob Inyart Live saying, he's not a Christian. He doesn't believe in the Bible. You're like, I thought you were a supporter of his. Yeah, I am. Well, why are you denying that he's a Christian? If you're a supporter and you think homosexuality is good, wouldn't you want to brag that Michael Jackson is a homosexual? Why deny it? See, your public school is showing, and your truth is showing. Now, I don't think I've ever mentioned about Michael Jackson when he made that colossal, absurd failure of judgment and briefly dangled one of his little kids over the balcony. What was that, a third-store balcony? Because he had fans down below, and he wanted to show off that they could see his child, but not the child's face. So he had a towel over the kid's head, and he dangled him off the balcony. You can't even view that. You can't even see that video without your stomach tying up into knots. It's like your stomach goes through a scoot of macaroon. It's just horrendous. By the way, our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So to be a homo, you have to say everyone, every famous person in the world is or was a homo. You know, George Washington was a homo, Abe Lincoln, King David, everybody, Isaac Newton, Michelangelo, everybody is a homo except for Michael Jackson. Everybody's a homo. We used to sell, remember we used to sell those kits? Basically, ace bandages for your wrists. They would straighten out your wrist if you had a limp wrist. Yeah, mostly it was during the month of May. And we would have a can of Dykoff and Gayaway. And Dykoff, we sold these things. We sold these for $500 a can. You remember that? And Dykoff was strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. Yeah, and that lesbian called into the show one night, and she said she was living with her partner in an apartment in Denver and watching Bob and Yurt Live for some time and was thinking that she wanted to pray to be a Christian, you know, right then on the air. And so I said, well, you know what, that, you know, thanks for calling in, but you have your partner living there in the apartment with you? And she said, yeah, but I think it's time. I think I'd like to pray to become a Christian. And I said, well, I have a better idea. I think, I don't know how much money you have, but I think if you bought a can of Dykoff from us, and then you could use that, you spray it on your furniture, spray it in the doorway, you know, in the rooms that your roommate would enter, and it's a money-back guarantee. It should work. And at that moment, so many people in the audience, you could feel it coming through the TV camera lens. I mean, those lenses are like $50,000 each. They cost a lot because they were two-way secret communications. You know, you think you're watching TV, you think they can't see you? Well, anyway, we could tell how angry people were, people tuning in, you know, newer viewers, that here's this woman saying she wants to become a Christian, and here, why would Bob treat her like this? So rotten, now she'll never get saved. And I realized that if she had hung up at that moment, I was sunk. My whole show's over. Because Christians could be pretty, you know, for one, we could all be a bit dense. And for two, they could be pretty judgmental. I mean, mostly the Christians who say you're not supposed to judge. The others are usually fine. But the Christians who say you're not supposed to judge, boy, are they. I have never been judged more than by the Christians who say you're not supposed to judge. Anyway, I was thankful she didn't hang up because I might have been sunk. But she stayed on the air long enough. I gave her enough rope to hang herself. And is that biblical? Give him enough rope to hang himself? Jesus said he's the rock of offense, and if you come to the rock, you will be broken. But if you don't, the rock will grind you into powder. That's pretty intense, huh? So you could give people enough rope to hang themselves. In fact, Jesus is the rope. He is the rope. But I gave her enough rope, and thankfully, she did indicate her true intention, which I just intuited. You know, the Bible talks about discernment, and if you read God's word, you pray, you should get wisdom. And I think, you know, you do get wisdom if you trust God. It's a promise. You ask God with faith, without doubting, and you will get wisdom. And I, for many years, have prayed for wisdom. And so my intuition was that she did not want to become a Christian. She wanted to use our TV show. She wanted to use Bob Inyart Live in order to mock God and to toy with the audience and to play with their emotions and their compassion and their love. She wanted to mock the audience, mock God. That was her goal. Because what she wanted to do was prove that you could be an unrepentant lesbian and be a Christian. I mean, that was her goal. Her goal was to say that churches have to accept homosexuals, child killers, atheists, I guess, no? I mean, you can't discriminate if an atheist wants to be a pastor. Come on. Who are you to judge? So she did let the truth out, which I was thankful for the sake of those in the audience who were maybe not onto her as quickly, that her goal was to mock God and to mock the audience. And if at Bob Inyart Live, if we're able to prevent that, then we would. And so we did that night. And we did sell over the years, we did sell some cans of Gay Away for men and Dyke Off for women. And I don't think we ever had to refund anybody's money. I think the stuff works. Do we have any more cans of that? 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you have a problem, we do. I just found out we do have more in inventory. What's the expiration date? Judgment Day. Good till Judgment Day. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. The stuff just flat out works. It flat out works. Remember the woman who called into Bob Inyart Live on the air, live, on TV, and she said, Bob, I went to Planned Parenthood, and there were pro-lifers out there, and they lied to me. And so right off the bat, I'm thinking, okay, this woman is now lying to me and the audience. Because pro-lifer, she said, I said, well, how'd they lie to you? She said, they offered to help me, and then they didn't. And I just knew she was lying. Because if anything, we pro-lifers, we're stupid. We help everybody. And I just knew she was lying. I mean, I've seen all over the country. I've seen pro-lifers, you know, help in the most extraordinary sacrificial ways to help strangers. This past weekend, up in the mountains, the Denver Bible Church has a weekend gathering once a year. We celebrate the ministries of Ken and Joe Scott. And of the dozens of people up there for 3-4 days over the 4th of July weekend, Denver Bible Church this weekend, every year, we have pretty few attendees. And I have to wait till church is over before I can rush up there. A number of the people there are people that we met at Planned Parenthood. Some of the kids running around, playing around the campfire. They were kids that were scheduled to be aborted, to be killed by Planned Parenthood. So some of the moms at our church will go to the hospital when the kids are being born. And just the stories are extraordinary. So I knew this woman was lying. So I wrote down on a sheet of paper when she said I was lied to by the pro-lifers, I wrote, she's lying, on a piece of paper, and I folded it, and I held it up right in front of me in view of the camera for the next 10 minutes so that people would know from the first moment when she said these pro-lifers lied to her, from my own life experience and wisdom and discernment, nothing special, just what God wants to give everybody. Remember Jesus said, God will give you good gifts? He's talking to the crowd, and he said, come on, guys, you could relate to this. You all are evil, right? And they're nodding, yeah, yeah, we're evil. And when you give your kids gifts, you give them good gifts, right? You don't give them a viper. You give them good gifts. And how much more your Heavenly Father, if you ask him, he'll give you good gifts. If we ask God for wisdom, James chapter 1, if you ask in faith, believing, not doubting, God will give you wisdom. I remember I became a Christian in 1973 in September through campus life. I went home after that weekend, I became a Christian that Sunday night at the end of a weekend retreat. And I went home, and that night I read the whole book of James. And I saw this extraordinary promise in James chapter 1. If you pray for wisdom in faith without doubting, God will give you wisdom. And I remember writing it on a piece of cardboard, like inch and a half or 2 inches by 2 inches. And I put it in my pocket to go to school the next day. And on the way walking to school, I just pray for wisdom. And walking back, you feel around your pockets and, oh yeah, pray for wisdom. And I seem to remember transferring that from pants to pants every day. Now, it could be as a 13-year-old boy, maybe I wore the same pants for a week straight. I don't remember. But I do remember for the first year praying for wisdom. So here's this woman, and it was so obvious she was lying. So we gave her the rope she needed to hang herself. And I asked her, well, tell me, how did they lie? And tell me the story. And she tells me the story. And she says she has 4 kids and she just can't bear to have another child. Or she thought she couldn't until they lied to her. Then they did it. She had to have another child because they would not help her. And now they're struggling. And I just know she's lying. And the whole thing is a lie. So then I ask her, well, could you tell me about your kids? What are their ages? And she tells me their ages and I write them down. Could you tell me some of their birthdays? And she goes to invent. It's hard to make up birthdays right off the bat, especially when you're supposed to match the ages of your own kids. And she just couldn't do it. And I said, you know, it's clear that you're lying. You don't have those kids. You don't have kids those ages. You don't know their birthdays. You don't even know their names. I ask you their names. You got to make them up. And then 2 minutes, 4 minutes later, you can't remember their names. You're just lying. The whole thing, the whole story is a lie. And she admits it's a lie. Yeah, but I know pro-lifers would do this. Pro-lifers wouldn't do that. We are too stupid. We would help you. And so here's Bobby saying, Bob, I am not and never have been a Michael Jackson fan, but he is not gay. Allegedly he. I guess he's a he. We have homosexuals on this show like Wayne Besson. And they deny that even in theory, they say it is impossible in theory to be a homosexual child molester. It's not possible. That'd be like talking to a German in the 1930s, and he said, well, in theory, it's not possible to murder a Jew. It's not possible. It's like being in jail with the blacks, how they refer to women, you know, with a complete breakdown of morality in the black community, as B's and H's. That's how they refer to women. And I will not repeat what they say is impossible to do to a black woman. I won't repeat it. But they say it's impossible. You can't do it. And they say it. So the utter denial, right? We interviewed Ilana Goldman. You can see it on YouTube. Ilana Goldman on Bob Inert Live. And I asked her, what is a fetus? I mean, she is a leader in the pro-abortion activist community in Washington, D.C. She's one of the 8 women to watch in D.C., according to the Washingtonian. So I get to debate her, and we put a 7-minute interview video on YouTube. It's hysterical. I say, what is a fetus? She said, I'm not going to answer these biased questions. Well, is it alive? I'm not going there. Well, what is it? You say you could abort it, right? Absolutely. Well, what is it? What is it we're talking about? She refused to answer for the whole interview, for a half hour. So we excerpted every time I asked her one of those questions. It's like a 7-minute YouTube video. She would not answer. Who is the liar? Who is the liar? You know, God made us male and female. And homosexuals and liberals want children to be confused about that. I remember when George W. Bush was campaigning, and it was right in the middle of the battle against the Boy Scouts by the homosexuals in San Francisco. It was the homosexuals against the Boy Scouts. Who do you think George W. Bush would side with? You think he'd speak up for those kids? Of course he wouldn't. He's proud of every homosexual he's ever appointed to office or put on a bench. He's proud of his support for homosexuality. Now you'll hear conservatives talking about Barack Obama being homosexual friendly, gay friendly. How about George H.W. Bush and Dan Quayle? How about them? They were the first. The Republicans were the first to invite homosexuals to the White House to praise and support the homosexual agenda, the homosexual lifestyle. The Republicans were first. It was George Bush and Dan Quayle and Dick Cheney. And George Bush, he's a real defender of marriage, right? Didn't he say he'd support homosexual unions? Marriage just by a different name? So it's the Christians that have the courage to defend what God's word said that have the hope for our nation and our world. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's our creator. He rose from the dead. He made us male and female. Don't kill children. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.